Today we have a special guest. Julius Kihumba is going to be leading us in the Lord's Prayer this morning before Hank teaches in both Swahili and then in English. How cool is that? So, welcome to Harbor. We're so glad you're here.
Let us pray. Baba yetu uliye mbinguni, jina lako litukuzwe, ufalme wako ukuje. Mapenzi yako yatimizwe hapa duniani kama huko mbinguni. Utupe leo riziki yetu, utusamehe makosa yetu, kama sisi tunavyo wasamehe waliotukosa. Usitutie majaribuni, lakini utuokoe na yule mwovu. Kwa kuwa ufalme ni wako, na nguvu, na utukufu, hata milele. Amen. Amen.
Well, thank you, Julius, for leading us in the Lord's Prayer this morning. And thanks to everyone who's helped us pray the Lord's Prayer throughout this series. In fact, we've actually got just a couple more special guests towards the end of our service, which I'm excited about as we kind of close out our message today in this series. We've got a twofer today. So again, want to say thanks to Julius and to everybody who has helped. Hey, just a quick announcement. Next week, we are going to have another special guest with us. It's a close friend of mine who is a United Methodist pastor who is planting a multi-ethnic church in the community where I live. And I'm really excited about having him at Harbor of Hope. And so make sure that you come back for that because I think it's going to be really, really great. All right. So I want to start off a little bit differently this morning, as we're wrapping up this series. I've been thinking about this story in Matthew chapter 8 all week. It's the chapter right after Jesus finishes the Sermon on the Mount, which is still the very beginning of his ministry, right? He has come proclaiming the kingdom of God. He's even begun to do some teaching, and he's been doing some healing. And we have one of those stories. Jesus is approached by a Roman officer who comes to him and pleads with him, "Lord, I have a young servant who is in bed, paralyzed, and in pain." So let's pick it up in verse 7 together. Jesus says, "Well, I will come and heal him." But the officer said, "Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come into my home. Just say the word from where you are, and my servant will be healed. I know this because I am under the authority of my superior officers. And I have authority over my soldiers. I only need to say, go and they go, or come and they come. And if I say to my slaves, do this, they do it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed. Turning to those who were following him, he said, "I tell you the truth, I haven't seen faith like this in all Israel." And then Jesus said to the Roman officer, "Go back home. Because you believed, it has happened." And the young servant was healed that same hour. What could surprise Jesus? What could amaze him? In this particular story, it was this man's faith and his understanding of how authority worked. That idea of authority and submission is a big part of what we're going to talk about today. So as you know, we've been in this series called 66 Words to Live By, and we're wrapping that up today. And we've done our very best to do as the title suggests, to live by this prayer. And today we've got the task of bringing it all together, which is no small task, by the way. So today is we're going to come to the part of the prayer that is not always included in the prayer, depending on how you prayed it. Some people pray it. Some people don't. It's this line: "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." It's called the doxology. And the reason why some people say it and others don't is partly because of the kind of churches that people have experienced or grown up in, but also because some of the oldest manuscripts of the Gospels, these words don't appear there. And they do appear in some other manuscripts. The truth is, we don't actually know if Jesus included these words when he first prayed the prayer. And so is that something that we should be concerned about, either including it or not including it? Are we going to get struck by lightning if we don't make the right choice, right? Yes, you heard it here first. You may be struck by lightning if we don't get this right. No, of course not. That's not true. Bible scholars will tell you that even though these words weren't included in the original prayer, they are exactly the kind of words that Jesus would have prayed. And of course, it fits with the themes that are already covered in the prayer itself. So when we pray these words, they're a powerful declaration. Why? We all have a kingdom. You may not think you do. Your kingdom is all that matters to you. Your relationships, your hopes, and your fears, and your dreams, your goals, your finances, all of that is your kingdom. All of those things for me are my kingdom. And we all have a power too. We've all got the power to influence for good or for bad with our words and with our actions. We even talked about over the course of this series that we have the opportunity to bring heaven to earth, that we have the opportunity to bring evil into our world if we don't avoid temptation. All of that is our power. And we all have a glory. Glory is a biblical word for greatness or significance in the eyes of others. So for us, it's what we're good at. It's what makes us special or what we're known for. It might even be the legacy of our whole lives. All of that is our glory. So we have a kingdom and we have a power and we have a certain amount of glory. We all do. And so when we pray this prayer, when we pray this part of the prayer, that thine is the kingdom and thine is the power and thine is the glory, and we're able to mean it, Jesus is talking about this idea of submission. So as soon as I say that word, I can feel something sort of in my body just tighten up a little bit. I think there's at least a part of us that aren't exactly thrilled by that word, submission. I'm saying if we were to make a top five list of messages that you least wanted to hear this morning, the message on submission might actually be right at the top. When you think about submission, don't you think of people giving in? Don't you think of people who are easy to push around? People who are doormats, perhaps, in life? Or maybe you think of those special holds in wrestling or mixed martial arts, right? Where you get somebody to tap out, they give up, they submit. It's not a position that we want to find ourselves in, whether we're in the sport of wrestling or in life in general. Submission doesn't always sound like a positive topic or word. But submission is very important. It's an important concept for anybody who calls themselves a follower of Christ. In the original language of the New Testament, the word submission is the word hupotasso. In fact, right where you are, let's all say it together. Say it after me. Hupotasso. There you go. See, we learned some Greek today. You can impress some friends later this week with that, okay? And here's the idea. It means to be under command, like that story that we read about in Matthew chapter 8. And if I hupotasso myself to you or to someone else, it basically means that what you want is more important than what I want. And what you say is more important than what I say. If that's the definition, I understand why we're not always thrilled by the word or the concept. Maybe people who are doormats or who have no self-respect don't mind it, but the rest of us, I'm saying that we might be fiercely anti-submission. We're about calling our own shots. We're about sticking it to the man. We don't value hupotasso in our lives. Think about that three-year-old. So this happens from a very early age, right? The three-year-old who throws a fit because he or she isn't getting their way. They want to add something to their kingdom. It's normal to be in a store and to want something, yes. And we've probably all seen a meltdown by a child and that parent who is trying to just manage that moment. And they either don't give in, or maybe they do try to give in just to get that child to calm down. Every parent knows that there is nothing more embarrassing than when your kid throws a temper tantrum in public. Like if you had some holy water, you might try it. right? Because it's just like, that doesn't even feel like my kid anymore. But that's because this desire is so strong to add to our kingdom. But even when we get older, we're still all that little, we're still on the inside, that little three-year-old who wants something, who wants it our way for our kingdom. It's interesting because in Christian circles, about the only time anybody wants to hear about submission in church is when it's on marriage. And the verses and or topic of Ephesians chapter 5 come up, right? The famous verse, wives, submit to your husbands, gets thrown around. Men tend to like that verse. It's easy to be a fan of submitting when you think that you're the one that God is telling someone else to submit to, right? But that verse is taken out of context so often. What the Bible actually says in Ephesians chapter 5 about submission in marriage is to first submit to one another out of reverence to Christ. That's how this section starts. Wife and husband submitting to one another and Christ. Biblical submission is not about who gets to have the last word or make the final decision. Biblical submission does not put one spouse in charge of the marriage. The only one supposed to be in charge of anybody's marriage or house is the Lord. Biblical submission is about taking responsibility for creating a culture of sacrificial love and serving the other person. And if you take the lead on anything, fellas, let it be that. I don't care what your theology is. But here's the thing. I want us to change the way we think about submission as we wrap up this series today, as we talk about the concept of submission. It doesn't just mean that we let someone be our boss. Think about the word itself, sub and mission. Sub meaning, of course, under, and mission meaning that there's an important assignment to be carried out. Submission literally means to be under the mission of another. And what we've got to take away from this series as we try to bring all of this together is that the Lord's Prayer isn't about helping us be more devout or more pious because we've said a prayer. It is a declaration of submission to Jesus and to his kingdom mission every single day. Think about each phrase of the prayer that we have looked at. They challenge us to that mission. Everyday worship, everyday kingdom, everyday provision, everyday forgiveness, everyday trust through trials and temptation, every single day. Okay, so let's try to bring this all together by doing a little bit of a review then, okay? How do we become people who are under the mission of the kingdom? This thing that Jesus spoke about, taught about, prayed about, healed for. So let's review week one. That first week we talked about our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We talked about the idea of relating to God as our Father. And orienting our whole lives towards God, not just as individuals, but as a church community, as the people of God. It's not just something that we do for an hour a week, but it becomes something that we as followers of Jesus live out every single day. It is obvious to me, especially the particular role that I do in working with churches, consulting with churches, that many Christians right now are struggling. If you think about it, we've made so much out of the point of spirituality or following Jesus. We've made it out to be oftentimes our buildings and our services. So what happens when our buildings and our services are taken away? It would make sense, right? It doesn't feel like we're being very spiritual. What needs to shift about your understanding of worship? Religion has us all dependent on our practices and our gatherings. And don't get me wrong, I think there's a place for all of those. I'm not saying that those are evil. I'm just saying that they're not the point. They're the form for how we ultimately know and trust God. How can you create opportunities to be connected to your Heavenly Father right where you already are? regardless of building, regardless of services, how can you live a life of worship more every single day? Let's go to the second week. That second week, you'll remember we talked about thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We talked about how it was about God's kingdom beginning to show up in our world, and that we have an opportunity to bring that kingdom and heaven to earth with our words and our actions, just like Jesus did. How can you bring a little more heaven to earth every single day? We've tried to talk about practical ideas each and every week. You know, during this whole pandemic, maybe you can reach out to your neighbors. Maybe you can reach out to people in the church that you haven't seen in a while. Maybe you come across a need that you know you can be the answer to that prayer. Whatever it is that we do, we have an opportunity to bring God's kingdom here, the idea of heaven crashing into our reality. But we've got to live in submission to Jesus and his kingdom every single day. Week number three was all about give us this day our daily bread. We saw how we're to rely on God's provision. And we were challenged to even take some of our surplus to provide for people who don't have daily bread. What does that look like for you in your life? How can you rely on God's provision more every day in a world and in a culture where we don't have to depend on God for the basics like maybe some others in our world do? How do we depend on him to provide daily? What does that look like? And then as we trust in God's provision more, we also want God to use us to be the answer to someone else's prayer. That fourth week, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, or our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. We talked about the importance of being people who have linked God's forgiveness for us to the idea of forgiving others. And every single day, I was telling somebody this week after I taught this message a couple of weeks ago, it was like all of these places and a few people even in my life where I was not settled on some issues came running sort of back into my mind. I was reminded of these places where I hadn't forgiven someone or someone hadn't forgiven me. And so it was pretty convicting. And I was reminded that a lot of times in my life, I'm content to say, thank you, Jesus, for the forgiveness that you give me, but I'm not ready to give it to someone else yet. And that's not kingdom. And that's not submitting to his will. And so the question then becomes, who needs to be pardoned in our life? What are the ways that we look more like the accuser, the slanderer, the evil one than Jesus on this issue? How can you and I be more about forgiveness every single day? Week number five. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We talked about how this idea of testing and temptation is something that God can be counted on for deliverance from trials and these testings, these temptations that we do face. How can you rely on God's deliverance every single day? And that's what makes this such a hard message to give personally. This idea of relying on God's deliverance, but also in every single area that we have talked about and addressed in this prayer, or thought about in our own lives. To say, thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever, means that we're learning to live all those previous aspects of the prayer, absolutely. But ultimately, what we're saying is, God, we're under your command. Jesus, we want to be about your mission every single day. Some of you have probably heard of the author Dallas Willard. who was a philosophy professor at USC. He was a best-selling author, passed away a few years ago. He actually does a translation of the Lord's Prayer, I believe in the Divine Conspiracy. And here's how he translates that last phrase. So I want to share it with you. He says, "You are the one in charge. You have all the power, and the glory too is all yours forever." And that's just the way that we want it. We said that from the beginning of this series, 66 Words to Live By, that the Lord's Prayer is more than just something to memorize, more than just a template, even for our own words. Many of us will never get past one of those two frameworks. Ultimately, it's a snapshot. The prayer is a snapshot of kingdom life. It's a prayer for people who are under the authority of Jesus. It's a prayer for people who want to take their life and submit it to Jesus' mission every single day. So let's allow more. "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." Let's allow that to remind us that we are to be under the mission of Jesus. To wrap this up, let me ask you a question, a final question that I think would be good for us to just think about as we close our time. Have you ever really decided to submit your life to him? And I'm not just talking about if you've accepted Jesus into your life. I know lots of people who have accepted him and who have been living as a follower of Jesus, but they have never addressed the submission issue. Today can be a day where you make that decision and say, "I'm going to live differently from here on out." And I think there are some others of us that we knew what that would mean to accept Jesus, to live with him as our Lord and not just our Savior. And we've not done it either. We want to give you an opportunity, even in a moment like this, as we say this prayer a final time, and in a moment just have a moment of silence for reflection. There's an opportunity for all of us today to submit to that kingdom, to be a part of that kingdom, to live under that mission. And if we've never said, "God, in all I say, in all I do, everywhere I go, with everyone I know, in all of that, every day, thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, and the glory too." And if that were true, what would we begin to do differently? Again, I want to give you just a moment to kind of think about that. What would that look like right now? Take a few moments in just silent prayer and reflection, and then we're going to close our time today by having the Rendish family lead us in the Lord's Prayer one last time. So let's take a few moments.
Heather, will you pray with us? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive those debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.